What a wonderful Lord's Day. So thankful to be together this morning. So thankful for your presence. And has already been indicated a number of guests who are with us today. We're thankful for our former shepherd and his prayer for us. I had an idea after services tonight. Let's all go spend the night with Craig and Denise. Who's in? That'd be a fun time. But glad when those who have gone away can come back and be with us and have a bit of reunion. We also have those in our assembly today who are here because one of our members invited you. And we extend to you a warm welcome and hope that you'll be back with us. And we hope that you'll see the things that we do here, trying to follow the pattern of the New Testament church, trying to follow the Bible alone, and we hope that interests you and you'll want to know more about why we do what we do. Thank you for being here this morning. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis 12, look at a familiar passage this morning, Genesis, the 12th chapter, a very important chapter in the history of the Old Testament. And I want us to read together verses 1 through 9. Genesis 12, verse 1, beginning. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him, and he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. So here we have a dramatic shift in the unfolding of the book of Genesis. This is after the flood, after the Tower of Babel, and now God chooses one family, beginning with a 75-year-old man who we will learn is married to a barren woman. And to this couple, he says, "I'm going to make you a great nation." And that nation becomes a kingdom. And that kingdom becomes the vehicle through whom God pronounces blessings to every family, to every nation, through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ. But I want you to see that this all began with a journey. Abraham's journey from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran and ultimately to the land of Canaan, which God said, "I'll give this land to your descendants." A people who are going to be great in number are going to need a place to live. So I'm going to give you this land. But it was Abraham's journey to get there. And I want you to think this morning about your own journey in this life. We're all on a journey. We have a destination. We have a way to get there. We have traveling companions. But we're on a journey. And so my question to you this morning is, where are you? Where are you on your journey? You know, when we take a trip in this life, well, there's a lot that goes into that. We do a lot of research. We make reservations. We do planning about things that need to happen while we're away and things we're going to do where we're going. And we might even talk to different people who have been there. I remember several years ago when the kids were younger, we decided we were going to go to Disney World. And so we talked to the expert, Gina Soto, and we talked about her, about things we would do and where we would stay. And the next thing I knew, Gina was going with us. And so we went on a journey. Where are you on the most important journey you will ever make? That is to eternity. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. But where are you on this journey? I want to talk about four things this morning very quickly. We journey from, we journey to, we journey with, and we journey through. Let's talk about those. First, did you notice that Abram was told by the Lord in verse 1, go forth from, there's the first from. You go forth from your country. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about the place Abram came from, but history does. It was a well-developed place. It was an important civilization. And Abram and his family would have had everything they needed there. Remember, at this time, he's 75 years old. He's probably pretty comfortable there. He's built a life there. But the first thing he says is, go forth from your country. You're going to have to leave this place where you've settled in, and I'm going to tell you where you're going to go. Go forth from your country. And Abram did that. I want you to know this morning that this is not our country. We live here, and we're proud of where we live, and we should be. Here on President's Day weekend, I'm wearing my flag on my lapel because I love this country. But God tells us we've got to come forth from this country, that this land is not our land. Keep your place here, but look at what was said about Abraham in Hebrews 11, Hebrews the 11th chapter. As the Hebrew writer looks back on his journey and talks about his country. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. If Abraham, if all he was thinking about was the place he left behind, said he could have just gone back. Things didn't work out here, I'll just go back. But he said he was looking for a better country. One not of this world, a heavenly one. Where he wouldn't have to pitch tents anymore and live as a traveler and a nomad. A country where God had built a city for him. Go forth from your country. I want to remind you this morning that as great as this country is, we are still living in Babylon. We are exiles here. We're not meant to stay here. And we need to remember that our hope is not in this country. We're going to be good citizens. We're going to do what we can. We're going to make it the best we can. But this is not our home. Kingdoms of the world pass away. Go forth from your country and seek a heavenly one. Where are you on your journey? Still here? Go forth from your country and go forth from your relatives and from your father's house. Again, it's not until later on in the Bible story, all the way to Joshua 24, verse 2, that we learn that Abraham's father, Terah, and his brother, Nahor, were idol worshipers. They lived there where they were in the Ur of the Chaldeans. And Joshua said they worshiped and served other gods. And so when God told Abram, you need to go forth from your family, he was taking him away from the influence of idolaters. And at 75 years old, Abram left his family. You journey from. And it could be that in this life, as you make your journey, you're going to have to make those separations. You're going to have to journey from your relatives and your father's house. And Jesus spoke about such a separation. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, I want you to notice what the Prince of Peace said, starting at verse 34. Matthew 10 and verse 34. Do not think, Jesus said, that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Go forth from your relatives. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is a journey that God requires first priority, even over your earthly relationships. Yea, even your father and your mother. Where are you on your journey? Who's your father? Go forth from. It's a journey from. And sometimes that's even relationships that are keeping us where we want to go. Where are you this morning on your journey? This is not only a journey from, but it's a journey to. And so he said, go forth from your country and from your father's house to a land I will show you. Now think about that. We can use the internet to look up places we're going. We can talk to people who have been there. We can do our research. Here's what you do. Don't waste your time on this. Abram couldn't do that. You pack up everything at 75 years old, leave your family and your country, and you go to a place I'll show you. Sometimes I think about the people of the Old Testament and who I relate to the most, and I must confess that I think I'm a lot like Abraham, because I usually go out not knowing where I'm going. Anytime I go on a trip, even in Deer Park, I don't know where I'm going. I'll show you. Question. When you think about the destination of our journey, anybody ever been there? Anybody tell us what you saw? Anybody give a report what it's like? Go to a land I will show you. And you know what God does? I'm going to show you. Revelation chapter 22. The first words. What does John say? Then he showed me. He showed me. Revelation is a picture book. It's full of images, visions of the unseen. And John got to see them. And then he got to write them. And he had the frustration of trying to put what he saw into words so we could understand. Kids were young. They couldn't read yet. And so when they would read me a story, they would just look at the pictures and tell the story. They couldn't read one word underneath it, but they could see the picture. And they'd tell me the story. Look at the picture, what he shows us. A river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the tree leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have any need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's our journey too. That's where we're going. A Bible that begins with the creation of the heavens and the earth ends with the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. And God, who once hid his face because of our sin, we will see him face to face. We like to think about what we're going to look like. Will we have halos, wings? Will we recognize one another? What we see in the picture, we're going to know what God looks like. And with his own hand, he'll wipe away the tears from our eyes. There'll be no more mourning or crying or pain. That's the land, he said, I'm going to show you. Where are you on your journey? You journey from and you journey to. Are you closer to heaven? Where are you? Number three, we journey with. Back in Genesis 12, Abram did leave his father's house, and he went forth, verse 4, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. That's his nephew. Lot's father at this point had died. Now, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew. So he journeyed with. He didn't go by himself, but God allowed him to journey with. Now, we need to understand that God was with him, whether or not anybody else was. Everywhere you went, God was there. Everywhere he went, God was there and spoke with him and reassured him and comforted him. That's why he kept building altars and calling on the name of the Lord. The Lord was with him. He didn't tell him, go on this journey and I'll check in on you sometime down the road. The Lord was with him. And as he took Sarai, his wife, God ultimately opened her womb, and they had Isaac. And then Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had 12, and from those 12 tribes came a great nation. We travel with. Found it interesting that in the description of heaven in Revelation 22, did you notice? They shall see his face. They shall reign. They shall serve. We're not made to go on this journey alone. Even when we must leave and go forth from our family, we attach ourselves to a father who then provides for us adopted brothers and sisters. As a preacher of the gospel, over the last year, I've lost a number of my fellow laborers in the gospel. Now, they were further down the road. They started their journey before me, and so they were closer to the destination. But still, we were part of a special fraternity together. And so I think of them when we sing to me of heaven as I walk alone dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone. But I'll see them again. And when we sing, friends will be there I have loved long ago. Those are the ones we journeyed with. And we want to be with them. And finally, we have reached a destination where there are no more goodbyes. There's no more parting. But we will be with the Lord and with one another forever. We journey with. Where are you this morning on your journey? Those who have gone before, do you have a hope of seeing them again? Where are you? And then finally, we journey through. Now, the New American Standard Bible has as the heading for Genesis 12, Abram journeys to Egypt. Well, isn't that strange? I thought this is when he went to Canaan. I thought this is when God led him to the Promised Land. Why would it say that Abram journeys to Egypt? Because when Abraham gets to where God said, I want you to go, the Canaanite is living in the land. And so he says, to your descendants, I will give this land. He doesn't say, it's yours now. There'll come a day, Abram, when your children will inhabit this land. And then if we were to continue reading in verse 10, there is a famine. So how would you like it as a 75-year-old? You left everything behind, went on this journey, got there, and somebody's already living there, and now there's famine. And so he has to go down into Egypt. And coming up out of Egypt, then there's strife between Abram and Lot and their herdsmen. And then continuing in Genesis, there's war. What does that tell us? We have to continue on a journey even when we go through difficulties and through trials and even through family strife, separation, conflict. We have to journey through, which is why God shows us where we're going. And when we depart off our journey, it's because we've lost sight of that picture. Whatever the difficulty is, it's gotten in the way. We can't see it. Go to the land, I will show you, even when you go through things you didn't realize were going to be there. He never promised an easy journey. But we must journey through. Why is it that Moses, also in Hebrews 11, was said that he suffered ill treatment with the people of God rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin? Why did he do that? The Hebrew writer tells us because he was considering the reward. He was seeing the final destination. And he didn't want to lose that. Just as surely as when Jesus said, blessed are you when you suffer persecution. People say things about you that are false. And others are belittling you because of your faith. He said, rejoice and be glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. And so we journey through. Because we've seen the land. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. Romans 8 and verse 18. Where are you on your journey? Have you allowed some present conflict or difficulty to derail you from where you want to go? Journey through. Isn't it interesting that this land spoken of here in Genesis 12 that God said, I'm going to give to Abraham and his descendants. Even today, we still call that region Israel. Where does that come from? The name of Abraham's great-grandson. And through all the difficulties of the book of Genesis, when Joseph was dying, he said, don't bury me here in Egypt. You take me back to the land of my fathers, which he promised with an oath. And he wanted his bones buried with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where are you on your journey? Aren't you thankful that we have one who said to us, I am the way? Not, I know the way, or I'll show you the way. I am the way. He's our access to our destination. He is our destination. Jesus said, if you want to go to the Father, you must come through me. And he's calling still. Come to me. Where are you on your journey? Jesus is the only way. Come and confess your faith. Come repenting of your sins and be baptized. Get back in the way if you're off track. And do it while we stand up and while we sing.